You're witnessing history being made. Live podcast.
And now, Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN Radio.
When I'm out the trunk, head to death. Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo, TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the sweet.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your football.
He is Jalen Anthony Rowe.
What up, Dell?
I'm David Jacoby.
In on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic.
And we're putting it on wax. It's the new style.
We're Jalen and Jacoby. What do?
We get a people. What they want.
Huge show today. We're going to be part of the Tournament Challenge Marathon. We're going to have Jay Will come through later to talk to us. But Jalen Rose, you know, the television show today is on ESPN 1. Not ESPN 2. ESPN 1.
What time?
2 o'clock, I think.
Y'all hear that? 2 o'clock. ESPN 1. So, are you sure that's a good thing?
No. No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because here's the thing is, I always know that the executives don't listen to the pod. That's why we do our exclusive stuff here in the podcast. But you can kind of get away with a little bit more on ESPN 2 than you can on ESPN 1 because maybe some executives only have one television in their office. But we can't hide today. I brought out my favorite sweater for ESPN 1. I'm excited about today.
Yeah, you look handsome today. You got a fresh cut, too.
Yeah, man. It's the big leagues. The big leagues. You're on ESPN 1 all day, every day. Countdown at night. Get up in the morning. They don't let me onto these kind of platforms. So we'll be previewing the tournament challenge and the NCAA tournament, which starts tomorrow, really tonight, but the playing games are whack, let's be honest. Jalen Rose, there is so much dukification of this year's tournament. This seems like all anybody talks about is Duke. So what are we going to do for the A block? We're bringing on a dookie. Welcome to the show. Our guy, Jay Williams, joining us.
The homie.
Thank you so much. The dukification of the tournament is just too much. So just to not over-dukify everything, what we want to do is we want to talk about some of the star players that are not just going to be playing in this year's tournament, but also one day in the NBA. So it is now time for potential franchise-changing prospects not named Zion, RJ, or Cam. We know enough about those three players and their pro potential. So we want to ask you, Mr. Williams, about some of the other players that aren't getting that much shine, but we start with someone who's getting so much shine. I would say second to Zion, one of the most hyped players in college basketball, exploded on the scene this year, Ja Morant. What do you see from Ja in college and translating to the pros?
42-inch vertical. His hands are about two times the size of mine. His athleticism, some people have compared it to Vince Carter-like. He's around 6'2", 6'3", and he has elite passing ability. Look, he can obviously score 40 to 50 points a night. And he's dynamic in ball screens. You guys both know this. The league is all about ball screens, right? So his ability to come off each and every ball screen and make a play, getting low to the ground, and then finish over the top of people. But he has an array of moves at the rim. He can sidestep you. He can, backstep you. He can pick his spots. His vision is off the charts. That's what makes him so different, man. He's going to be the second pick in the draft, hands down.
A terrific prospect. I agree with Jay Will. He reminds me a little bit of Dame Dollar.
Ooh.
A guy that can get me points, a guy that can get me assists. I've seen that guy be in the three-point contest as well as the dunk contest. Comes from a small school also.
I just love the fact that Jay Will just said he was going to be the second pick in the draft, hands down. That's interesting to me. I mean, there's a lot of other players out there, and we're going to get to one who I said everyone's going to play in the tournament, but this gentleman will not. This was a top five prospect, so hyped. But guess what? Got injured, so no one's been talking about him. This is obviously son of Manute Bol Bol, who is injured but will be playing next year in the NBA. What do you see his future in the league?
I like it, man. He's a bigger guard, even though has the body of a power forward. And that versatility in the league is what you need, right? You've seen a lot of guys that be able to have that length, that height, that can shoot the ball from the outside, but also has traditional low post moves. I think he's a guy that can guard positions 1 through 5 because of his length and because of his versatility and lateral quickness on the perimeter.
Reminds me some of Thon Maker. I've actually played against Manu Bol when I was in the league. How about that?
Manu Bol's been stretch five. He was getting he was over 7 feet.
No doubt.
And he was hitting threes. So this next player, Jay Will, does something that it's kind of rare in today's game. That's play actual defense. DeAndre Hunter from Virginia, defensive player. How do you think he will translate to the NBA?
I'm curious about DeAndre Hunter. I mean, his game is he can knock down the mid-range jump shot. He can also shoot the three. He can guard positions 1 through 5. And he actually has the strength up top. Like, he's stronger than a Ball, right? His ability to make plays, make the right play. Now, this is where I always get a little bit confused, though, because does he have that next level in him? When you see players come out of UVA, you know, guys like Joe Harris, who obviously plays for the Brooklyn Nets, guys like Malcolm Brogdon, they seem like they're situational, system-like players. But I wonder if he can take that next step and be that bona fide volume scorer that I think he has the ability to do. I just don't know if he's been breaded from his foundation to do that.
And the key to unlock his game is to shoot the NBA three. He's shooting 47% in college. If he's able to do that, that's going to put him in a position to play quality minutes.
I just like that he plays defense. Now, some people on the East Coast that go to sleep early because they have a lot of children like myself might not be so familiar with this next player, Rui Hachimura.
Yo, Jacoby, like he might be the one. He really might be the one. He has a 41-inch vertical. He is tall. He is lean. He's athletic. He's a point forward. He can put the ball down on the ground. He can shoot the ball, but he kind of plays a game similar to Giannis on the collegiate level. I'm not saying he has those go-go gadget arms where he just finishes through you, but he can bully his way to the basket. But he also has skill set. He has great footwork. He can finish around the rim, and he can shoot the ball from the outside.
I got one for you. Really boxy shoulders. Almost looks really mechanical. Long arms, big hands, locks down on defense. Reminds me a lot of Kawhi Leonard from what I see from this guy.
Ooh.
In particular, when he's playing against a team like Duke, when you can play him at multiple positions and put him in position to lock down and still get you offense on the other side.
Now, this next player, you always know where he is on the floor, not just because he's a threat and he's explosive and he's a scorer, but because of his hair. Kobe White from North Carolina.
Just let your soul glow, man. That's what this kid does all
soul
day, every day.
Soul glow!
Look, Jay Rose, yo, he is, like, he might be a top three, top four pick. And the more you see him play on the collegiate level, he's legit 6'5", 210 pounds. Kind of reminds me a little bit old school of D. Will, Darren Williams, right? Mm-hmm. But like, he is dynamic with his dribble. Like, those side steps that you see James Harden do, he does that on the collegiate level. Now, granted, I think at playing the PG position, he needs to learn how to control the game. But as far as a scoring guard, he has that bigger frame. He can get anywhere on the court when he wants.
I feel like though Carolina has had a terrific season and they're a national program that gets a lot of acclaim, as a freshman, I think his productivity has gotten overlooked and underwhelmed by a lot of casual fans. I hope he has a big NCAA tournament to validate what you just said, Jay, because I agree with you as it relates to his prospects.
Now, this next player is probably my favorite player in college basketball, and that is simply because of his first name is also the same as one of my favorite rappers. Nasir Little. Tell us about him.
You know, there's been so much hype about Nas coming out of high school, and then he goes to North Carolina, and Roy hasn't really seen him fit into the system yet as much. I mean, you've seen him evolve throughout his course at UNC, but his playing time has been somewhat limited. And I've heard scouts say, well, you know, he has to figure out the system. Is there something wrong? You know, there is nothing wrong with Nasir Little. Like, he is 6'8". He won at the competition of Garden Zion in that game when they first played. But I think it got a little bit of the best of him, the hype. But as far as the athletic ability, as far as the mid-range shooting, he can always improve his three-point shot. But he is a versatile wing. He can defend anybody. And he has that dog in him, Jay Rose. Like, he wants to defend the best player. He's that guy, almost like a Stanley Johnson type, where you can say, go get him for 45 minutes a night and just dog him out. And he'll take on that personal challenge.
And when you look at his numbers, they're underwhelming for a guy that's probably going to go in the top five,
in the lottery,
not averaging 10 points. Usually what that means is he went to a school that already had depth. A lot of times he probably initially chose the wrong school. But then you find your niche as the season progresses. He's another guy that can have a breakout NCAA tournament.
Yep. Well, finally, tell us a little bit about Jarrett Culver from Texas Tech.
Yo, this dude is continuing to blow people away, man. I think he has a 7'2 wingspan, so he's extremely long. And he comes from a system where they defend all the time. So his ability to defend is above par. It's incredible. But also his game, like he can knock down shots. He's doing things off the dribble. He's not as showy as this player I'm about to say, but he kind of moves like him, J. Rose. We both played with him a little bit. If you watch the way Jamal Crawford just moved, how silky he was, that's how Jarrett Culver moves on the floor. He's not doing those dynamic moves with the ball like JC, but he moves like him on the floor, and he'll end up with, you know, 20, 25 points, and you'll be like, I don't even know where that came from. So he's efficient in his scoring.
He has good size. And another player, when you look at the brackets, people feel like Texas Tech has the opportunity to upset a lot of teams. It's going to be because of his progress. Let's see if he can have a dominant NCAA tournament and make a name for himself and go higher in the draft because of it.
If you're carrying revolving debt, and that means you're not paying off your card every month, and you could be paying thousands in interest every single year, guess what? You don't have to. With Lending Club, you can consolidate all of your debt or pay off your credit cards with one fixed monthly payment. Since 2007, Lending Club has helped millions of people regain control of their finances with affordable, fixed-rate personal loans. Just go to LendingClub.com, tell them about yourself and how much you want to borrow, pick the terms that are right for you, and if you're approved, your loan is automatically deposited in your bank account in just as little as a few days. Lending Club is the number one peer-to-peer lending platform with over $35 billion in loans issued. Right now, go to LendingClub.com/J&J. That's LendingClub.com/J&J. Check your rate in minutes and borrow up to $40,000 at LendingClub.com/J&J. All loans made by WebBank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Jay Will, I know you watch the show every single day, so you are familiar with the segment, Keep It Moving.
Exactly.
Keep it moving, you know where, keep it moving.
All right, the first topic, keep moving or hit the brakes. Americans will bet $8.5 billion on the tournament. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Keep it moving. I don't like nothing with the brackets, all that stuff. I don't really care about it. Keep it moving.
We keep it moving.
Duke, a team that you may be familiar with this year, they have extremely high expectations, and that might not be a good thing. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
I would say hit the brakes on this one. Look, I get worried about Zion Williamson getting in foul trouble. They don't have a skin named Marcus Bolden. They don't shoot the ball that well from the three-point line. Are they the best team in the country? Yes. But as we all know, Jay Rose and myself, the best teams don't always win. And when you don't have dudes who can't shoot, that could be a problem during the tournament.
I love that. They're also the biggest favorites to win the tournament since the 2015 Kentucky Wildcats. Remember that undefeated team that did not win the tournament.
That was John Wall and Boogie, right?
I think so. Yep. All right, next. The best one-on-one matchup of the entire tournament could be happening in the first round. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
I would say hit the brakes on this one for me.
All right, well, someone tells me that everybody knows what we're talking about. Of course, we're talking about Ja Morant and Marcus Howard going head-to-head. The very first game either team will play in the tournament. Tell us about those two players.
Well, Marcus Howard hurt his wrist during the Big East tournament, but he's dropped a 50-point game this year already. He's had multiple 40-point games during his career. He's a small guard, so I love him. He's around 5'9", 5'10", but can score with the best of them. Then obviously Ja Morant, I said it during the earlier segment, he's going with the second pick in the draft. Ja Morant will bust anybody's head wide open to the white meat. So I think watching that matchup, watch it happening nationally on TV, both teams will get way more recognition that they deserve throughout the course of the regular season. We just never talked about them.
I appreciated the profile that Howard did for national media to talk about some things that he juggles outside of the sport. And I also appreciated seeing Ja Rule on SportsCenter. Look at him with his chains on. That's what I'm talking about, young fella. I don't know if they're cubic zirconian. I don't know if they're real diamonds. All I know is my guy living his best life.
He really is.
That is my man already.
Yeah, he has reclaimed the name Ja since the Fire Festival documentaries.
Oh, that's wrong.
Next, Kansas head coach Bill Self says he has no interest in coaching the Chicago Bulls. Keep it moving or hit the brakes, Jay Will.
Who does have interest as a coach in the Chicago Bulls? Unless they give you a lot of money. With all respect to the franchise, I love.
Keep it moving.
Hey, let's not disrespect bad Chicago Bulls teams, because that's where you two met, okay?
That's true.
Next.
They made a great relationship. You're right.
Next, Richard Pitino's Minnesota team will face Louisville. Obviously, there's some Pitino ties with Louisville as well in the first round. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Whoever says that the NCAA doesn't have conspiracy within the committee room, mm-hmm. they're wrong. I mean, keep it mm-hmm. moving. We already know what that is.
We're going to keep moving on that. Good call. John Calipari did a television interview on Sunday, and it seemed like he did a little interior decorating first. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes for a second.
Wait, let's just take a look.
Again, just so I can hear you correctly.
Let's just take a look at some of that interior decorating. It seems like he has one all-star jersey of one of his players on the wall, and the rest are just kind of like laid about around him, still in the cellophane. Jalen, soft move or boss move?
So this is a boss move, Jay. Here's what Coach Cal did. The Teflon gentleman that he is realizes that I might not have the championships that Coach K has.
He doesn't.
But let me tell you what I got. I got all-stars. I got guys that got billions of dollars worth of contracts. So instead of me having anything NCAA behind me, I'm going to have all things NBA. And by the way, a couple of those still had the plastic on them.
They did.
So he literally just did that for the interview. Coach Cal is a unique guy. That's why Jay picked his team to win the championship.
Coach K had the whole series called Earn Everything that was on ESPN+. And Cal's like, you know what? This is my moment when I'm going to shine. So I'm going to show why I'm the master of marketing, why I was the originator of the one and done. And I give Cal credit. Cal is always thinking outside the box about how to market himself and his program 24/7.
I love Coach Cal because I'm from Amherst, Massachusetts, and he put UMass on the map. Finally, this one's very close to me. I'm going to hit the brakes on this one myself. Vasectomies go up by 50% during this week so men can get a vasectomy and then take Thursday and Friday off. I'm in the market for a vasectomy. Should I get a vasectomy on this Wednesday of next year?
I mean, if you're at that, point in your life, Jacoby, then do what you got to do. Just put the kids to sleep, man. Let it be over. Cut it off. Well, I don't want to say that. I take that back. You know what I mean.
I'm ready.
You're ready.
I'm ready for it. I'm doing this show, the marathon show, live from the hospital bed next year. Mark my words.
In any way, shape, or form, support this activity. Jay, don't feed this
guy. Okay, Jalen, if you can't support the activity, I hope you can support my fourth child when it comes out, because I'll be hitting you up in about 19 years with a college bill. Okay. And they're definitely going to Harvard.
That's facts right there. My wife's always talking about me doing it down the line.
Jay Will, my brother, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate watching you during this entire tournament challenge marathon.
Shout out.
The Jalen and Jacoby podcast is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear. More driven. Jalen, the March Madness experience is something that you got to experience as a player. I got to experience as a fan, but you also have some memories as a fan. So we're going to go back and relive the most memorable madness. So first I want to start with you. Before you suited up in the maize and blue, what are two of your biggest memories from March Madness?
One of them had to be when Michigan faced Illinois and they were stacked. I looked up to both of these teams because I like so many players on both sides. They had Kendall Gill, Kenny Battle, Marcus Liberty, who I cut V's in my hair just like his, and Nick Anderson. And obviously we had our fearless leader, Steve Fisher, who went on to coach me. Glenn Rice, Sean Higgins, Terry Mills, Lloyd Vaught. Like both of those teams were just stacked. And Illinois had beat Michigan twice in the regular season.
So your second memory, not as a player, but as a fan, is what?
These two teams were stacked as well. The UNLV Running Rebels.
Yes.
Led by Jerry Tarkanian. You see Greg Anthony there at point guard. Anderson Hunt, the Final Four MVP, Detroit Southwestern's own. Larry Johnson, Stacey Augman, Butler up front. I used to idolize that team so much that I had a fake gold tooth that I put in my mouth.
A fake gold tooth?
Had to represent LJ.
What's a fake gold tooth like?
Well, you go to a spot and you just clip it on there.
So you sure you
wanted? It wasn't real gold.
You sure you wanted to draw attention to your teeth at that age, Jalen Rose?
I did. They were so bad anyway.
There's a lot of space in between them to put that fake gold tooth in.
I had that exact same haircut. And that guy right there, the Final Four MVP, Detroit Southwestern's own, representing South Southwest, HB, homeboy.
Shout out.
I was watching the UNLV Running Rebels in his basement.
Wow.
Beating the Duke Blue
Devils.
They
were kind of the Fab Five before the Fab Five a little bit. Now, I never played in the tournament, but I watched every single one my whole entire life. So I've got two very impactful teams and memories for me. The first one, a little sad, it was born out of tragedy. Loyola Marymount's Hank Gathers collapsed during a game and eventually passed away. But the team continued, and not only did they continue, they made a march in the tournament, powered by Bo Kimble. And when Bo Kimble went to the free throw line, he shot with his left hand in the tournament. You could tell that was his offhand. He shot with his left hand in the tournament as an homage to his brother and former teammate, Hank Gathers. And they went on a run that was unlike any other, powered by the emotion and Bo Kimble's play. I will never, ever, ever forget these moments in the NCAA tournament.
They beat the brakes off of my Michigan Wolverines during that same run.
Mm-hmm. That was one of my biggest memories, but the one that impacted me in my hometown of Amherst, Massachusetts,
shout
the most.
Shout out to Ramil Robinson, too.
Where a gentleman by the name of John Calipari came to town in Amherst, Massachusetts and took over the University of Massachusetts program. We used to have this little tiny gym that's basically a high school gym called The Cage. Then the Mullen Center opened, and Lou Rowe was the man who changed my hometown forever. Lou Rowe got it done. He was dunking all over everybody. He and Mike Williams powered a UMass team into the tournament and gave my hometown an experience that we had never had before.
This is just between us. Nobody else is listening.
What?
This isn't on TV.
What?
What kind of cars were they driving?
Oh, no, they didn't have cars. They were student athletes. They couldn't afford cars. That would never happen.
I mean,
we would never just like see some of the UMass players driving around town in some expensive vehicles. I don't know what you're talking about. That was never something that happened ever in the great program of University of Massachusetts. Their old gym was so small. I used to stand on the stanchion with no ticket. You could just go walk in the door and stand on the stanchion. Like, that's how small the program was before Calipari got there.
And also, shout to University of Massachusetts for actually honoring that team and putting their banners back up, even though they had some issues with the NCAA.
Why do you bring that up, Mr. Rose?
Because Michigan is the only team that I know of that has taken down a team's banners and has not put them back up.
You know what's better than banners? Statues. Let's get a Fab Five statue. Now, you were part of the Fab Five, so you told us your favorite memories in the tournament as a fan, but what are some of your favorite memories as a player in the Fab Five?
Playing against Kentucky in the Final Four comes to mind. Mm. Rick Pitino was their head coach.
Look at you.
Look at the silent protest with the plain blue shirts. Jamal Mashburn, who was a beast in college and in the league.
Yep.
You see Macy Edward, Christopher Weber right there. Tony Delk was on their squad. They were really deep, and they were beating teams by 30 throughout the tournament. So that is one that really stands out for me.
So they were beating teams by 30. Did they beat you guys in this game that you're talking about?
We actually went on to win that game.
Oh!
And this was right after, like, it was so controversial because, like, not only were they blowing teams out, but for those that understand the style of play that Pitino employed, he liked to press the entire game, a run and jump. And so people were trying to figure how we were going to handle that press. We had so many guys that could dribble, pass, and shoot. We found a way to get it done.
Okay. I thought you were going to say that we just passed it to me, and then I waved everybody away, and then I just took the ball off the court.
Wasn't like that against that press.
Okay. What about your second memory as a player from March Madness tournaments?
I wanted to say playing against Temple because I think we played them twice in the tournament back-to-back years. And I really believe had we not beaten them, they not only would have made it to the Final Four, probably would have won it all. But I have to acknowledge beating our rival, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. They had a good team then.
Because they had beaten us twice already in that season. And that bumpy-faced, ball-headed,
your skin is not that bad. That's in your head.
Took it personal. And once we got a chance to play Jimmy Jackson, Big Bro, and Lawrence Funderburk, and Chris
Jett, I remember this dance forever.
It became legendary, our celebration, because it was something that a lot of people felt like we would not be able to accomplish. So beating Kentucky and beating Ohio State were almost games that served as championship games, even though they didn't take place on the final Monday.
I think that a lot of people will remember the Fab Five as a national championship winning team. Like, I think a lot of people will just be like, oh yeah, the Fab Five, like, what did they win, two? Did they win one? But I think that this is sort of over time, you forget that you guys did fall short twice in a row.
I disagree with you. They're going to remember the Fab Five as people that were bigger than basketball.
Okay. Okay. Winning winners off the court.
Winning the game of life.
And they're going to remember the Fab Five because one day when you walk on that campus in Ann Arbor, right outside of the arena where they play basketball, there will be a life-size statue of five men standing side by side as brothers. And right underneath it, there'll be a plaque that says, the greatest class of college basketball players in the history of the sport.
And as I get on my Wayans brothers, we're brothers, we're happy, and we're singing, and we're colored. I hope it happens while we're alive.
That's what I'm saying. I hope it happens before you're like wheelchair. Your knees are already bad. You can barely jog.
I just hope, like, it doesn't have to take a tragedy for it to take place.
Yeah, I think the hairline needs to still be in place when you get this when you get this statue.
I'm gonna borrow Jada Kiss hairline and wave for my bust.
Last night, I watched a little NBA basketball. I watched the Spurs against the Warriors. Watched the entire basketball game. And this revelation came over me. And I was like, it looks like the Spurs are a better basketball team. It was just last night. I'm not saying they're better, but like, there was at no point. The Warriors made a couple little runs. Klay Thompson got hot after a cold first half. Made a couple little runs here and there, but honestly, it was like, doesn't even matter who's in the Spurs uniform. It just feels like they're going to be a top five seed in the Western Conference and be threatening in the playoffs.
Did you just give the San Antonio Spurs credit?
I know.
What?
And there were some pretty impressive numbers that came up.
They won five championships and you didn't give them any credit.
They've been in the playoffs for, 21 straight years or something? Like, and they put up the other teams that have been in the playoffs in the most consecutive years and amongst the other sports. That's uncanny. It's crazy. Popovich better get out. He better just retire. It's not going to get better than this, Pop.
And let me add on to that greatness while you're wearing your Spurs-colored sweater. Their projected starting backcourt is not playing.
No.
In Murray and Walker, who they took in the first round out of Miami.
No.
So you develop Forbes. You develop White.
White looks
great. You're still
getting
quality minutes out of Mills.
Mills.
And then up front, Bertans comes out of nowhere.
Love
able
Bertans.
To make threes for you.
What's he like? He got the second highest 3-point percentage in the league. It's something crazy.
That is crazy. But it's
and
more.
Don't sleep on LaMarcus Aldridge, who is an all-star, who is like, you know, someone who we always consider all-NBA player or whatever. But like, he's doing his thing this year quietly.
I was definitely going there. So then now I was going to get to the vets. You bring back Bellinelli.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you lean on the guys that have been there, done that. LaMarcus Aldridge, who's old school in today's game, playing from the post, scoring from mid-range. DeMar DeRozan, the exact same thing. Both of those guys are averaging over 20 points, but are taking 2.5 three-point attempts a game. That's an anomaly in today's
game.
Rudy Gay is balling too.
It's been well chronicled what Klay Thompson can do to the best opposing player. Like, we saw what he did with Westbrook on Saturday night. Like, Klay Thompson is a shutdown defender. Last night, in the waning seconds of a game, there was a little 6-point game, 5-point game, minute and a half left. Like, not over. This is not garbage time. This is, we need a stop and a score bad if you are the Warriors. DeMar DeRozan, with Klay Thompson on him, is just hitting these turnaround, fadeaway 17-footers. Tough shots. And Klay got this look after he watched it go through the basket. Like, there's nothing else I can do. There's nothing else I can do. Like, he played great defense against DeRozan. DeRozan's just knocking those down.
Because DeMar is a professional scorer who also has a career high in assists.
Yep.
And I'm not here to say that the Golden State Warriors aren't the favorites to win it all.
Of course they are. Yep.
But just like the Duke Blue Devils, I see flaws in both of those teams' greatness. And therefore, I'll take the field in college and in the league. And let me tell you the thing about the Golden State Warriors that I noticed. You know how Steph Curry likes to penetrate and kick it out and probe and then all of a sudden run through the play and get the ball back at the dribble handoff for a catch and shoot, moving without the ball? That looks really good, and it's great that he's moving without the ball. That's phenomenal. Reggie, Ray Allen, some of the best players in the game, Rip Hamilton, have moved without the ball
to catch and shoot. His coach, Steve Kerr.
But here's the problem with that. The reason why that's also effective is he's throwing it to a guy usually that ain't willing to shoot. And the Spurs exposed that yesterday. You notice when he kick it to Looney, he kick it to Bill, he kick it to Draymond. When he goes to relocate, that dude was leaning to stay with him. Mm-hmm. Because they knew the dude with the ball wasn't going to shoot. And that on one play, DeMar surprised Steph. On the right wing, when he's about to go up to shoot it, and he turned around, DeMar was standing there. And he just lost the ball. He didn't get fouled on that play. He surprised him. So that's something that I'm looking for going forward. Draymond did make two threes in the game, and I know they were without Boogie, but that's something that I'm watching as the Golden State Warriors continue to proceed.
Draymond made two threes, and those two threes look great, but he had some bad misses. Yep. Like, he had some misses where you could tell he didn't want to shoot, but he was wide open, so he had to shoot. It hit the front rim, wasn't an air ball, but it's just like, he just looks awkward shooting threes. Like, there's misses, and there's, like, misses. Yep.
No doubt. And I've been saying this since the beginning of time. Why is Draymond open?
For a reason.
That happens during a basketball game. Yep. And you're playing the percentages. Do I want the Splash Brothers to shoot 40% from three?
Nope.
Or do I want Draymond to shoot whatever he's shooting? Or Sean Livingston, who's not a three-point shooter. So they're not able to surround the floor with four or five knockdown shooters at 35-38% like they were able to do before.
Nope.
That what's looks different with their team.
And like also the supporting cast, Iguodala, Livingston, guys they leaned on in finals games. They took over finals games. They're just not the same players anymore. Father Time had a lot to do with that. And then there's a lot of Looney and then Quinn Cook. And like there's that. But here's another thing that I see is vulnerable with them is Kevin Durant just got back from injury. Now Boogie's out with an injury.
Iguodala didn't play.
But it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, if anything is going to really threaten the Warriors dynasty, it's the injury bug. Like, if really, let's be honest, like we talk about the Thunder and we talk about the Warriors and Nuggets and Bucks and Sixers and Raptors and all that. But like, one of the things that has hurt this team is injuries to star players. And then you can plan for, but they're all vulnerable.
You left off a major thing that may also derail the Golden State Warriors, sir. The Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be because of injury. If the Rockets are at full strength,
yes,
health-wise, and the Warriors are at full strength health-wise, flip a coin. It's that close. Like last year, the Warriors were without Iguodala, a lockdown defender that could play multiple positions. Houston was out Chris Paul.
Yep.
And we know the dynamic point guard that he is. With both of those guys back in the lineup.
And also don't sleep in Bamute. He was playing, but he was broken.
Like yeah,
he's got a shoulder problem. He was broken for that whole series.
Correct. Good point.
And like, I don't know, like they got House back. Like the Rockets are at full strength. And there's some stat when both Chris Paul, Clint Capella, and James Harden score 20 points. It's like they just don't lose.
And shout to the Rockets, Daryl Morey,
because
let me tell you how you rebuild a team on the fly.
Just secured the bag.
They lost the offseason.
Yeah.
They really did. I said it into this microphone.
They really did.
They lost the offseason.
They really did.
Carmelo Anthony situation didn't work out. Okay. So now.
They started the season 5-10.
And also Chris Paul got suspended earlier in the year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now you have to build your team back up. You add Fareed. You add Austin Rivers.
Shrump.
You patch it back together. You add Shumpert. You turn Tucker into the guy that's attempted and made the most threes from the corner in the entire NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Gordon always gets overlooked. They need his knockdown shooting. Capella and the two guys you clearly obviously acknowledged in Harden and CP3 will drive the narrative. But that matchup along with OKC, who can't be slept on, are two teams that could be difficult for the Warriors.
And like there's always so much focus on the Western Conference, but like this is one of the first years where it's like I'm really excited for the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. The first round probably won't be as entertaining as we want it to be. Your Pistons might even be involved, you know. So maybe they can get a five game series. Maybe the Pistons can win a couple. You know, maybe they can steal a couple games in a series.
Here's the intrigue about the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. All four of those teams have expectations of going to the conference finals.
All four of those teams have people in the front office that have looked at the travel for the finals.
And we're talking about Milwaukee, the Raptors, Boston, and the Sixers. I give my Pacers a pass.
Shout out to
them.
Because
they're playing without Victor Oladipo.
One of the best defensive teams in the league.
But those four teams, whoever gets eliminated in the conference final is going to be disappointed by the end.
Well, whoever gets eliminated in the second round is going to be one of those, well, we got to talk to the GM and see what we got to do with this roster to change some things. You know, and if that's the Sixers, they've got Jimmy Butler's contract up, J.J. Redick up, Tobias Harris up. Like, who sees? Who knows what's going to happen then?
Jimmy Butler out of there.
Yeah, it's
you ever think about when you out of there, Reg? Jimmy Butler out of there.
I'd be surprised if Jimmy Butler stayed. You know where Jimmy Butler's going to end up?
He's going in a large market, New York or L.A.
He's going to end up on the Knicks without Kyrie, without KD. It's going to be like Jimmy Butler on the Knicks. Not even Kemba. It's going to be Jimmy Butler and like the Ja Morant.
Also, no shots or no shade to the great people of Carolina.
What's happening?
Free Kemba.
Well.
Free Kemba, man.
Well.
I want to see him get a sign and trade. He put in enough work.
Yeah. He really has. He's like, I've done my best. He haven't put much around me, let's be honest. Some things didn't break their way. But it's also like, is he really want to sign up for another 5 years of this?
Freak
like
him.
5 years of this? Like, it's not like, hey, we've been close. Like, Dame Lillard, like, I'll re-sign. Like, all right, Russell Westbrook. Like, yeah, Paul George. Like, we're sniffing. We can be a contender. We can put something together here. Anthony Davis, even at a point, there's Anthony Davis like, all right, we're changing the roster a lot. We're making attempts at trying to make a run. But it doesn't feel like Kemba wants to sign up for another 5 years of that.
Free Kemba.
Would you think Kemba can leave $40 million, $50 million on the table to get out of there?
Nope. MJ, you're the legend.
He ain't doing anybody any favors.
I tried a couple of years.
He ain't doing anybody any favors.
It ain't worked. I would love to stay here and get the final year of my deal. Except when I look at our record, I realize that I can't sign up for another 5 years of this. So if you don't want to lose me for nothing, I suggest we do a sign and trade. That's how that conversation goes. Hmm. And I like your hoop earring.
And I like your hoop earring.
You don't have to change your boot cut pants. Just trade me.
Those are like straight Jenko wide leg. I don't even think that boot cut. I don't even think boot cut is right for them. Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. It's just like, I don't know if Michael Jordan has the personality to go tank. Like, that's what they're doing. If they lose Kemba, like, yeah, you're not even trying to make the playoffs in the East.
Shout out to MJ.
Shout out.
You know, one thing that happened last night, it wasn't just that the Spurs looked great, beat the Warriors. And there's just a big bunch in the middle of the Western Conference. Your Pacers are no longer in the third spot.
I already told people on this microphone they got a tough schedule in March. Yep. They'll ultimately end up in fifth, and they're going to push either Boston or Philly in the 4-5 game to 6 games. That's going
to
happen.
The Nuggets could be the number one seed in the Western Conference.
What? Jokic has a chance to be first team All-NBA here, Joel Embiid. One of the more fascinating things as you start to see the season play out is Karl-Anthony Towns. This is not being reported enough. If he makes all NBA, that could be worth $40 million. Lord, that's a lot of money. Anthony Davis is not playing. Therefore, he has an opportunity between he and Gobert and a couple of those guys.
You got to be first team? He's not
so
gonna
that's
be first
why when
team.
They put a microphone to his face and was like, are you going to sit it down and shut it down the rest of the year? Like,
No, shut it down. No, we can make a run.
No, No, I'll be out there. And another thing that I'll give, since we IG Live, that people aren't talking enough about, LaMarcus Aldridge has recently come out and told Dame Lillard that he wants to go back to Portland.
That was surprising. That was really surprising. He was just like, yeah, I want to come back to Portland. Oh, yeah, I'd love to. It's like, wait. First of all, you basically asked your way out of here, and then you were in San Antonio. You asked your way out of there. Pop convinced you to stay. Now you revitalized your career, and now you're talking about going back to Portland. LaMarcus Aldridge just seems like, he just kind of says stuff. That's what it feels like. It feels like he says things.
And shout out to little bro CJ McCollum. I'm glad his injury was not worse. Yep. I anticipate that he will be back and able to perform for the Blazers, who I think could do a lot better in this year's go-round than they did last year when they got swept by the Pelicans.
I tried to stay up for the Blazers-Pacers game last night. I really gave my best effort.
And most improved player while I'm raveling, while I'm
don't say anything but.
It's between three people off the top. And I hate to do this when I don't have all of the teams in front of me because like a computer when I look at the teams and I can come off with the players. But Pascal Siakam comes to mind.
He's the favorite.
Julius Randle comes to mind.
Yep.
There's somebody I was just saying the other day that has
Sabonis.
Montrezl Harrell comes to mind.
Yep. I've loved Montrezl Harrell since college.
Sixth man of the year, that's Lou Will.
No question. No doubt breaking about the record.
It. Getting buckets.
Yep.
So MVP. Giannis gave me a Heisman moment against Embiid. They lost the game, but he put up 50.
52.
Big numbers. That was a Heisman moment. Mopo hasn't been decided in the MVP race just yet.
So here's how the MVP race works, even though it shouldn't. Oh, we gave it to James last year, so we're going to give it to Giannis this year. It shouldn't be like that. That's how it's going to go. You know how it's going to go. We've seen it so many times. MJ didn't win MVP every year. LeBron didn't win every MVP every year.
Nope.
I want to thank Jay Will for joining us in this special tournament challenge marathon show on ESPN1. Do you think they'll ever let us back on ESPN1, Jalen?
Absolutely. Hopefully Monday through Friday one day.
Maybe. We're not done. What's that, Kara?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.
They my little guys. I love them.
Speaking of the hobbits, let's talk about LeBron James.
All I care about is my nipples. Seriously.